We're now into the final session, and then we'll have a very, very brief wrap-up at the end before we break for lunch. So this final session is Uninformed Wales. A lot of changes obviously going on, and more in prospect. How well-informed are the people of Wales? What does broadcasting to the devolved nations really mean? And issues of the democratic deficit and more, I'm sure, we'll be discussing. So I'll hand over now to the chair for this, Ruth McElroy. Ruth.
Thanks, Richard. I think everyone here will be known to you, but obviously we're going to sort of have some conversation between Rodri, Glyn and Angela, and I'm going to try and inject a little bit of evidence that I think might be useful to sort of just hook some of the discussion that we are hopefully going to have about Uninformed Wales. And the first bit of evidence that I wanted to draw on, and it's something which Rodri also drew on in his blog this morning on Click on Wales, if you haven't already read it, which is some research from within the BBC about the nature and the extent of what we might describe as the democratic deficit. So I'll just give you a moment to read the slides. You don't need me to read them at you. I think this is, when I first read it, quite frightening, quite alarming, and quite dispiriting. And I think that reality is something that we should acknowledge and begin with. The idea of a democratic deficit seems to be, as far as I can tell, almost a truth universally acknowledged. So we could have a bit of a motherhood and apple pie conversation here, but I hope we won't. So I'd like to ask the panel, first of all, whether the perception that there is a democratic deficit is something that you share, and do you think that the people of Wales, whether we conceive of them as citizens, as voters, as licensed fee payers, do the people of Wales think there's a democratic deficit, do you think? Glyn, would you like to?
Yes. I spent some time at the Electoral Commission when we produced a lot of research on this, in relation to elections, and I think subsequent research has demonstrated that although there has been significant improvement in the last decade, the notion of a democratic deficit is still entirely valid. And it is the media which play a degree of responsibility for this, but it's the structure of the media which is the problem, the issue. And we have to recognise that in Wales, we do not have a sufficient plurality of sources of information. We have the press, which, as we know, is in a state of decline. We have the BBC, which dominates in two languages. We have ITV, which I think is in a new lease of life in its new centre in central Cardiff, but doesn't produce the range of programmes produced by the BBC. And there are not enough sources of information about the devolved world of Wales. And this is a tremendous problem. There's no easy answer to it.
Let's see if we can find some answers, though, by the end, shall we? Beginning a conversation of a way to get some answers. Angela, would you like to come in?
Yes, I think there's the democratic deficit that people talk about, the media outside Wales not reflecting Wales accurately or sufficiently well. And there's the democratic deficit, which Lynn has alluded to, with the inadequate mix of media. And I think we in the industry are part of the democratic deficit ourselves, and we don't do enough to recognise that. So I would like to invite us in this session to spend a little bit of time in thinking whether or not I'm right in saying that. So first of all, what do I mean by saying that we in the industry are part of the democratic deficit? When one works in an industry, whatever that industry is, I think one has a particular responsibility for the area of civic life that that industry deals with. We happen to work in communications, and not just television, but all media. And I think, therefore, it behoves us to look at ourselves and see what have we allowed to happen to democracy in Wales within the arena that we have some influence in and some control over. Right? We don't have enough of either of those two things yet. But let's have a think about ourselves. What is it that we've done that has augmented the democratic deficit? First of all, I think we in the broadcasting and media sector have allowed the situation to develop as it is. ITV Wales produces, I think, 34 hours a year.
80.
Oh, thank you. 80. That's wonderful. 80 of what kind of programming?
Very good.
Is that good. No, please, if you would. 80 hours defined as what?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, sorry, I'm asking Jonathan. I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Jonathan? I didn't hear it.
90 minutes of programmes on top of the 4 hours of news.
Yes, do you know what the number is across the year? Anyway, so I think it's...
70.
Okay, so I think I read somewhere it was 222 hours BBC and a lot less from ITV. So the point that I want to make is that, no, there's somebody saying, no, isn't this interesting? So what is the... Well, non-network?
We do about 700 hours of programmes in Wales.
Right, okay, let me see. BBC provides 222 hours of non-news, non-network per year in Wales. I took that off the Ofcom slide.
Can I just put in a pitch for saying this is why evidence matters, so that we all begin from the same point?
Could I just, in that context, make a small advertisement?
Yes.
Which is the fact that the Ofcom's review of public service broadcasting is due out very shortly.
Yes.
Probably in the next week, in the next 10 days. And that for the first time, there is a separate section on the broadcasting market in Wales, and all these statistics will be there.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Back to my main point. The democratic deficit and our role in it. We have allowed this to happen. We have allowed the current situation to develop as it is because consistently over many years, the broadcasting and media sector in Wales has not developed the muscle to influence either Welsh politicians sufficiently or outside Wales. I think we just haven't done that despite very good efforts. Right, so that's my contribution to start with on the democratic deficit. And what are we going to do about that?
Okay.
Just to answer the first question, should we be worried about this data? Yeah, I think if 30% of your population, only 30% of your population can name the First Minister, then you have quite a significant democratic knowledge deficit, whatever you want to call it. Mm. There is clearly work to do. Mm. We should remind ourselves that our democratic institutions are youthful, so this is a journey we're going on, but we clearly need to pick up the pace. I think one of the questions we need to think about is whether we are putting enough emphasis on how we reach out beyond the heartland news audiences and political audiences. I can trot off the statistics for BBC Wales's output, and I can tell you, for example, that Wales Today attracts about half of adults in Wales every week, about 1.5 million every week, and that is at a 10-year high. But I can also tell you that the audience to that programme is predominantly over 50. And actually, when we look hard at the data, we know that about 40-45% of adults in Wales don't really engage with any Welsh news or information from any source from week to week. And that should worry us. That should seriously worry us if we want to arm individuals and households and society with information that helps them take a part in democratic life. And that's why, I mean, it's interesting, you know, one of the debates that's been swirling around in the last year, for example, has been around Newsnight Wales. Mm. And, you know, should BBC Wales have a Newsnight Wales? And there are lots of good arguments you can make either way. But I tell you something, if we had a Newsnight Wales, it would not make an iota of difference in terms of the people who are currently not consuming news and information about Wales.
You'd be better off with a Welsh Six.
Well, what I'm saying is I think we need to be imaginative in terms of our response, and we need to go where that audience is. I think we can sometimes have a tendency to reinvent past models and think that is going to engage the audience. You know, they had Newsnight Scotland, and do you know what? 20,000 people watched it every night. Now, they were very, very articulate, eloquent, politically interested individuals, but it did not extend the democratic debate beyond those who were already engaged in it. So I think as we work up to the charter, we need to be looking for ideas where the BBC can play a role, where others can play a role, that genuinely, the big test for me is, are we going to reach out beyond those currently consuming news and information about Wales and bring that other 40, 45% into the tent?
Okay. I've got a recipe for that, if I may offer it.
Right.
And I'm saying I've got a recipe. I've thought hard about this because I see few recipes. I see a lot of comment about this and not very many people coming forward and saying, what should we do to achieve? I agree with Rodri's wish list there. When Tony Coll came to Wales in April and he made what was a ground-changing speech about the current BBC offer in Wales, he talked about the erosion of English language product over 10 years and he called for a debate. He said that the BBC was failing to serve the Welsh audience enough in comedy, culture and entertainment. And I thought, right, that's fantastic. That's the first time I ever remember a Director General coming here and being so open and calling to Wales to come up with some ideas. Brackets here, I did wonder why he was not coming up with the ideas, because that's what he's paid to do. But at least he was being honest and saying he did not know what to do and he was asking Wales, right? But surely, particularly, he was asking people like us, right? What was the response from Wales? Silence. Almost 100% silence, right? I was shocked at that. I waited 6 weeks before trying to do something about it myself. And then I did. I did write a couple of articles. I invited other people to write some articles. But that is appalling. That is what I mean about the democratic deficit and our role in it, right? It's up to us to come up with some solutions. And if I may, go on. The next day, Tony Hall and Rodri Talbin-Davis were questioned by AMs, along with Chris Patton and Ellen Kloss-Stevens. And I have been inspired by a metaphor that Rodri used. They were talking in the context of network drama, a great success story from Wales, and an AM said, why can't we have more local drama? And Tony Hall answered that, and Rodri said, we want our cake and we want to eat it. So my recipe is cake and eat it, right? And Rodri said, I think, it shouldn't be either or. Now, so what I think, it's time for the broadcasting industry to get its different constituent parts together. Those who know the numbers, academics who have that analysis, people who are product content producers, particularly younger media workers. It worries me very much, the absence of younger people under the age of 40 who are interested in policy. We need a forum, which doesn't really exist at the moment, where we can assist the BBC and ITV Wales and S4C and the other platforms to be what Wales wants them to be. I am terribly concerned that we have somehow let ourselves slide into an acceptance of the status quo, and almost as though we expect the BBC to be its own critic, its own defender, its own thinker up of solutions. Talk about a precipice. We are on the edge, and we're all being terribly polite to each other while we just teeter along there.
There are some wider issues here, and I think it's important to look at some wider issues. And the wider issues are this, the rapid technological change that is happening at the moment. And the younger generation, you look at the statistics, the younger generation do not watch linear television in anything like the numbers that they used to. And the age profile for linear television is getting older and older by the year. And I don't need to go through the different devices which younger people employ instead. And this is clearly a threat to the future of public service broadcasting. And one of the central issues which is going to be discussed in the public service broadcasting review by Ofcom is public service broadcasting sustainable in general, not in the particular in Wales, but in general in the coming years? And under what circumstances will it be sustainable? And these are big questions. We can argue about programmes in Wales, but I mean, there are lots of different factors in Wales. Okay, but the general trend, or somewhat behind, the general trend is the same. we can talk about the younger people don't take part, but they don't watch linear television. I am reasonably positive about the future of PSB, because I do think that a lot of PSB content is actually replayed on all these other devices, and PSB providers are producing cross platforms now, and that's going to be the saving grace of public service broadcasting. But the threats are there, and the threat to the license fee, which is precisely what Ben Stevenson was scared about, is precisely because of these technological changes.
I've moved on the slides here, because one of the things, Glyn, you were referring earlier to the Ofcom report, and one of the many things that stood out for me was the higher than average use of social media as a route to news amongst people in Wales, including things like Facebook and Twitter. And that stands out for me, but also as somebody who spends quite a lot of time with 18 and 19 year olds, it absolutely resonates. I teach television, almost nobody I teach television to watches it on a box in the corner. They don't have one of those things. They quite like it when I use something as old as video, because they feel that that's from another era. What's the consequence, do you think, of something like that growth of social media as a route to news? Why is that happening in Wales? Is that an opportunity that could be exploited further?
It is. I mean, can I be slightly Luddite here?
Yeah.
Which is that I think social media is a hugely exciting phenomenon. I think Twitter and Facebook are remarkable platforms. But to take Twitter, it is still a very, very narrow activity of very engaged people.
Yeah.
And I would make the point again that we won't address the democratic deficit by serving those who are already engaged. And I'm a little bit more sceptical about... I'm surrounded by people at BBC Wales who tell me they don't watch any live television. That's probably true. It's totally unrepresentative of the population. About 90% of television viewing is still live. And you know, even among the young people, they still watch 70-80% of their television live. So we shouldn't conflate our own behaviours within the industry with the audience's behaviours. They're in quite a different place. But I think the digital challenge, the online opportunity, is very significant. You see it consistently now when younger people are asked what platform they most rely on for their news. They cite online. Mm. And broadcasters find this rather difficult, I think, because traditionally we have measured our impact by hours of consumption. You know, we weigh our listening, we weigh our viewing. And, of course, online works best when it's fleeting. People want, you know, to pick up their mobile phone and have it and have that short burst of news and information. But there's no doubt our investment in online needs to increase. We're already making steps in the newsroom and sport to increase our commitment to online. And the funny thing is that when we talk about journalism, all my natural instincts are it's about specialism, it's about originality, it's about breaking news. And of course, it's all those things. But in this day and age, it's also about boring things like platforms and distribution and coverage, because you have to be out there. You have to be where the audience is. They don't, you know, the old days where we knew they would come to us, it doesn't work like that anymore. So it is that marriage of technical nous and your sort of core journalistic instinct. Mm.
And just thinking to the sort of subheading of this panel, to what extent can we take any inspiration or more directly learn lessons from what happened in Scotland around the use of diverse media in addressing a democratic deficit?
Scotland, the Scottish referendum was a supreme example of total public engagement, even by young people, on a political issue, all the reports I had from there suggested, I mean, that it was a daily conversation, even among 17 and 18 year olds, all the time. To say that that is something that we can all imitate is probably this was a life and death issue. I mean, if this was a really, really massive issue, and not all political issues are as big as that. So I don't think you can draw too many conclusions from it. But I was supremely encouraged at the notion that we're not all absolutely switched off from politics, and that we can all be engaged. It's up to the politicians to make the issues big enough to engage us.
Right. I mean, I'm just going to say, on the referendum, you know, the source of the engagement was the Jeopardy. Whether you were yes or no, it was Jeopardy.
Yeah. Mm.
the real question is, how much jeopardy do people see in the democratic discourse in Wales?
Angela? Well, I think that's partly up to us. I think my son had a recipe, so the first ingredient was cake, and the second one is an act of the imagination. You know, but people care about something when it's made real and concrete to them, and they could see what they'd lose if they don't have it. And I think we have not made the case yet for the kind of broadcasting and media system that we want in Wales. And so I think an act of the imagination of the magnitude that existed when S4C was created. And if anybody says to me, well, that was to do with particular circumstances, there's always circumstances. We are now in a situation of some jeopardy, right?
Can I just make one point? Because I agree with a lot of what's being said. I think we are talking about two rather different things. You know, this discussion, as I understood it, was about the democratic deficit and people's knowledge of the policy issues and the news that affects Wales. I think the question of our cultural programming and our programming beyond is clearly related and connected, but it's a slightly different issue. Because the question of how people access news is very different to how they access traditional linear television. And the solutions may be radically different. So I accept the challenge. I would say that the argument and the territories are quite distinct.
There is some connection. I mean, there's not a complete boundary between those two. BBC used to produce a very good satirical programme, which made satirised politicians. Mm. And a lot of people's access into the political system, I mean, is partly through that kind of process. It's part of the process. Mm. And the fact that the BBC doesn't produce that kind of stuff anymore is an important loss, I think.
I accept that. I guess all I'm saying is I suspect the solution to the news challenge is partly a structural one about how news services are delivered into Wales, but it's also partly a digital challenge first and foremost. I think some of the other issues are about what we expect the scope and ambition of our broadcast television services to be. So I'm just making the point that they're different places.
Mm. I've brought it because many of you have been referring to Tony Hall's speech and quotes that I think a few of us were talking about earlier on, and about this sense that news is obviously absolutely integral to the democratic deficit and to how we might address that, but that it isn't reducible to news. I think it's very interesting, Roger, what you're suggesting here is that there are different routes to addressing these problems, which are in some ways about technological issues, about platforms, modes of delivery and modes of access here. But one of the other things I wanted to get to, because we've been talking a lot about television and we haven't talked very much about radio, and so I'd like to just make sure that there's a little bit of space to talk about radio here for a moment. Again, this is pulled up from Ofcom's data on the market in Wales. So reading some of that data, we can see a very, very high representation of BBC Network in radio consumption in Wales. A relatively much weaker percentage in terms of commercial radio, and that's something that is quite distinct in Wales. And obviously those of you who work in the area of community radio in particular will know that there have been some real challenges in terms of Welsh policy around that. What does this tell us in terms of where we might go to find the audience, where we might go in order to address the democratic deficits, do you think?
Let's begin with commercial radio. I mean, the challenges to commercial radio are huge at the moment. Mm. The pressure to network as Heart is doing and taking the local content out of commercial radio is extensive at the moment. The Ofcom, as a regulator, has to sort of put a heel in the sand from time to time, but it is nevertheless an ongoing issue. When we get to DAB, conversion to DAB, there is no positive regulation on radio on DAB, the law of the land and negative regulation. So there are no rules which say that Ofcom, as a regulator, can impose local content on any radio channel on DAB.
And is that something that you think needs to change?
With certain changes. I mean, there will be certain changes. They're already talking about the decriminalisation of the offence of not having a licence. Nobody quite knows what effect that will have, but it will certainly produce less revenue.
Because we're not just media people, we're citizens. And
that certainly seemed to me, it really struck me in the session earlier on with Ben Stevenson, where, you know, the kind of work that National Theatre Wales is producing,